You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well, we got a potpourri of things to talk about today, I guess. A lot of things we don't normally talk about here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, we're dominated by the Bills, of course. And then we're getting closer to training camp. This is the dead period for the NFL, so there's always different things going on. But the Sabres, free agency, trades that haven't happened yet, development camp going on. So we always have that going on. We dabble in some baseball, but how about had soccer talk last hour? Great job, Nick Mendola. Check that out on the Odyssey app on demand, WGR550.com. We're going to talk some football here coming up with my next guest, but also he was out at the U.S. track and field trials for the Olympics in Eugene, Oregon, and I wanted to dab into that a little bit because it was really cool watching it. And I get into track and field as someone who's been around the sport as well. So Coley Harvey joins me from ESPN right now on the Wester Hotline. We've seen each other over the years, said hi to each other, never talked on the radio on this platform. So thanks for joining me, my man.
Yeah, of course, Sal. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Let's start there. What was Eugene like for you? And just tell us about that that experience and that journey to be a part of the covering the track and field trials.
Yeah. I'm kind of a track and field fan myself. I love all sports and get a chance to cover all sports these days at ESPN. But I'm going to be covering the Olympics for us in Paris, and track and field is going to be the primary sport I'm covering. So that's how I ended up at the trials, and I've watched the trials from afar for all these years. I've paid attention to the NCAA championships when they're at Eugene, Oregon. It just seems the Prefontaine Classic when it's in Oregon. It just seems like that is the capital of the universe when it comes to track and field. Whether it's distance running, which is obviously important to people out there, given the history and the connection to Steve Prefontaine, who was an Olympic distance runner, and also sprints. Also those are important to those people out there. And the fans really seem to get into that sport there more than maybe in most other places in the country. So a really special time out there. Cool to see some of the events that took place and to see some of the people who are going to be going on to the Olympics for the U.S.
Let's talk about some of those people. What big storylines did you come away with that you think are going to carry over into the Olympics that you, ESPN, NBC, and people are going to be focused on with some of the athletes that you covered out in Eugene?
Yeah, well, the biggest storyline probably revolves around Sha'Carri Richardson. Of course, the last time that we had U.S. trials, which was 3 years ago, not four because of the pandemic, but 3 years ago ahead of the Tokyo Games, she had this positive test for marijuana while she was out there. She, of course, said it was something that she was doing to cope with the sudden news that she found out that she had had lost her biological mother during those same trials. Because of that positive test, however, she was unable to qualify for the Olympics. She had actually qualified in terms of running in her 100 meter meet. She qualified for the Olympics with that, but the USADA, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, and the WADA, World Anti-Doping Agency, said that because of the positive test, she was suspended for a month. She was unable to participate in Tokyo, but she did qualify in the 100 last week. So we will see her in Paris for her first official Olympics. So that's a big storyline that we'll be watching. Noah Lyles is another American 100 and 200 meter runner. We saw him qualify in both events. He currently has the world lead in the 200, and even had the world lead in the 100 until the Team Jamaica was having its Olympic qualifiers as well. And a couple of their runners this past weekend actually just barely surpassed Noah Lyles' world leading time. So that's going to be the big storyline to really watch in terms of the battle, in track and field. Is the U.S. going to end up winning all the gold medals? How much is Jamaica going to really push the U.S.? And it's really going to come down to those big events, the 100, the 200, the 400, and then the relays, the 4x100 and the 4x400 as well. Both countries have the kind of runners that can do well with that. So those are kind of the big storylines I'm looking for. Sydney McLaughlin-Leveroni, set a world record in the 400 hurdles, and it seems like every couple of months we're always hearing about a new world record from her. but she ran a 50.65 second 400 meter hurdle, and I'm telling you, most men don't really run. Most Olympic men don't really run much shorter than 50 with non hurdles, you know, without hurdles. So the fact that she's putting up those kind of numbers really bodes well for her, and it's going to be really interesting to see just how low she's able to get her time there in Paris, and if another world record is in the offing for her, and if a gold medal is as well.
It feels like the state of the U.S. sprinters, both on the men's and women's side, is very healthy right now. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's 100% accurate. One of the sprinters who should have been in the Olympics, who's not going to qualify, at least in the regular events in the 100 or 200, is Christian Coleman. You know, he is literally had the title mm-hmm. very briefly as being the fastest man in the world. Actually, had a faster 100 time last year than Noah Lyles did. Technically has the number one ranking, or at least had the number one ranking coming into the U.S. Olympic trials at the 100, but he didn't qualify. Kenny Bednarik and Fred Curley rounded out that order for the 100 behind Noah Lyles, so we'll see those three represent the U.S. Coleman, it seems like, will be there for the relays, but in terms of those events, you will not see him. That's kind of a big departure, but it just really speaks to how deep the U.S. Sprinters are. Sha'Carri Richardson, we mentioned she's going to qualify for the 100. She did not qualify in the 200 because of the 200-meter field for the women was just that loaded. You'll see Mackenzie Long, who just won three NCAA championships alone this past NCAA championship season. So we'll see her in the 200 representing the U.S. From University of Mississippi. And also Gabby Thomas, who probably is the favorite for the world going into the Olympics at the 200. And then Brittany Brown, who also kind of stunned everybody and slid into that number two spot, kind of taking Sha'Carri Richardson's spot in the 200. So depth all throughout the sprints for the U.S. It's going to be really exciting to see. If there's any sport that the U.S. really is favored to do quite well in at these Olympics, it's going to be track and field.
And the relays, of course, are always just phenomenal. I love watching 4x100, of course. A lot of it comes down to the exchanges, the chemistry. And that's really interesting. Countries, Coley, approach it differently. Some teams in the U.S. for years, I think, had basically taken like, okay, our fastest people, will kind of throw them together, where other countries kind of build it up. And it's the same group of people. And that chemistry lasts for, you know, months at a time. And they seem to have a little more success. But you're saying that, hey, you know, you don't have to be one of the sprinters that qualifies to be, because if you've been working on the 4x100, you're still in that spot, like a Christian Coleman, maybe.
Yeah, and I will say that the U.S. does have its relay teams that it does like to use. I mean, there was a semblance of one just a couple of months ago in May at the at the World Athletic Relays in the Bahamas, and Noah Lyles was on that, Fred Curley was on that, Kenny Bednarik was on that.
Man,
I mean, we saw the fastest of the fastest for the U.S. team. But again, Jamaica showed out. A couple of other countries that were represented there showed out well as well. But for the U.S., you have a relay pool system that happens just after the Olympic trials are over. And it's actually kind of an important process for the U.S. because this year at the trials, we actually got introduced to a 16-year-old in the 400, Quincy Wilson, who showed wow. out in the first two heats. Ended up setting an under 18 world record twice. This is a record that actually stood for 42 years, and he broke that twice in 2 days during the trials. But when it came to the finals, even though he ran a sub 45 second 400 meter, which is unreal, especially for someone at his age, it wasn't enough to qualify. He was still beaten out by five other competitors. And so three of those will go on to Paris in the 400. But Quincy found out late Sunday night that he actually is part of the relay pool. So he could run potentially as part of the 4x400, could run in a mixed relay. So yeah, the U.S. does it a little bit differently than other countries. That can affect chemistry. Like you said, it can yep. affect the baton handoffs and exchanges, but they still do feel like, hey, if we still are getting our fastest runners, and you know, we feel like they can get that chemistry at some point in time down the line as we get closer to Paris. That's kind of the way the U.S. sees it.
Coley Harvey of ESPN joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Any guys or they're going to transfer into the NFL that we've seen over the years? Devon Achane was a great sprinter, obviously, from A&M. We've seen players get shots in training camps. Any rumblings of people like that who either already are football players who maybe you've heard that NFL teams are looking at them?
Well, now, I haven't heard any of those rumblings, but I will tell you that there is a hurdler that if American fans, I should say, haven't paid attention to or don't know much about, Grant Holloway is probably the closest football competitor to that sense when it comes to track and field. He's a hurdler that just ran the 110 hurdles the other day. And, I mean, he set a blistering time. He ran the 110 hurdles in 12.86 seconds. His personal best is actually 0.06 seconds below that, 12.80. So he actually can run even faster. He's hoping that he can get under 12.8, which would essentially set a world record if he does that at the Olympics. But he's built like he's a little on the thinner side now, so he's more of maybe a receiver. But he could have been a defensive end at one point in time. In fact, the University of Florida was looking at him coming out of high school to play football. He decided to go the track route, and so he's probably the one track star right now that whose speed could translate maybe to the NFL, whose size also could as well. But that's about all I think we have right now going into the NFL.
Coley, there's Bills fans, as opposed to the last several years where they kind of knew that, okay, this is a really good team. They're going to fight for the Super Bowl. If things can go their way, stay healthy. Feels a little different this year. And then I go on shows around the country. They ask about the Bills. Are they taking a step back? They had some salary cap, managing they had to do. They're still, though, one of the top teams favored in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. Where are you on them right now? And I always say, hey, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance, right? I mean, he's an elite quarterback. Where are you on where the Bills are right now and their state of their development, the changes they made, and their ability to win the AFC East and then contend for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it feels like it's a little bit of a different year, obviously, for Buffalo than what it has been the last couple of years. But I'm not in the camp that's saying this is a complete rebuilding year. And that's just because, you lose Stephon Diggs, but you're still making some other changes, even within the receiver room, that are going to translate, I believe, years down the line. You lost some of your key pieces in the back end of the secondary, and I know that's going to hurt. Those are also veterans who ran into injury issues and kind of ran into just poor luck because of the stage of their careers the last couple of years. But at the same time, this still feels like a team that's built well on the lines, that has a quarterback, as you mentioned, in Josh Allen, who can give you a chance. Obviously, the turnover issue is something that has been his bugaboo throughout the years. I'm still not sold on this being a year where everything is just being completely stripped down for Buffalo. You still look at the AFC East, and you look at the other teams that are in that mix. I know a lot of people, especially down where I'm at here in New York City, a lot of people are really trying to be high on the Jets. I still will not believe it until I actually see it with that team. The Dolphins are the real contender that Buffalo really has to deal with this year. I really think they're going to be even better than they've been in recent years. Tua seems so much more comfortable. He's got even more playmakers around him. It seems like he's started to mesh even better with those guys over the recent years. So Miami's the real concern for Buffalo, but I think the other teams in that division are certainly beatable. And the rest of the AFC is tough. Talking about Cincinnati's not going to be a pushover. Houston has now arrived. Cleveland could be back in the mix. Baltimore is certainly in the mix. You just go on and on down the line. And the AFC is going to be tough. But I still think that this could be a year that maybe Buffalo doesn't win the division. Maybe Miami wins that division. But you're still right there. I'm not going to say that this is all of a sudden a team that won't make it to the playoffs. I certainly feel that it has the capability to do that. I mean, and again, you have enough pieces in this locker room who have been through some of these battles, and these have been some years filled with adversity, both on and off the field, the last few years for Buffalo. You still have a lot of those character guys around too, and I think that that's going to have an impact when things get tough this year.
How are you preparing for Paris?
Oh, good question. a lot of Duolingo, but I can't tell you anything in French. Right now. My French is terrible, but I can understand a lot more than I can speak it. But yeah, some of that we've got some stories that are coming out between now and then on ESPN.com and even on TV. You know, I just had a story last night on Quincy Wilson, the 16-year-old that we were talking about. So still getting some work in, but also trying to make sure I can learn some French. This will be the second time I've been to Paris in my life, but I want to be able to speak a little French to the people there.
It'll be awesome. Are you going the whole duration? Like, what's your schedule look like?
Yeah, actually going the whole time, and I'll get a little bit of time on my own on the back end as well to just kind of pop over to other parts of Europe, and then next thing you know, once we get back, it's like football season is fully here.
Yeah. I mean, we have a training camp opening here in Buffalo and Rochester on July 24th. It's hard to believe it's already here. Then you come back, you're already immersed in the NFL preseason. So, I mean, I know you're already going to be out and about, but when are you getting back? You're getting back in August then, right? So you won't be around for training camp here. I was like, if you're coming to Buffalo at all, what does your NFL schedule look like? When do you know like where you're going to be covering games? How does that work for you?
Oh, man, I sometimes I won't even know until the week of. So,
wow.
At this point, I have no clue what that'll look like. I'll be doing a little bit of college football this year, too. So this is kind of getting back into a sport that I used to cover a few years ago. So that I don't even know when that schedule will take shape, at least not right now. But hopefully in the next month or so. I will say, those things are now, they're the farthest things in my mind right now. It's so focused on Olympics and making sure I understand what's happening in the track and field world, and also golf and tennis. I'll be doing a little bit of that over there as well.
So, I love it.
So really looking forward to those two. But yeah, the NFL and college, those are coming very soon, but I think my mind will get that way once I'm back on U.S. soil.
Hey, before I let you go, you have a great journey. And, you know, you posted today, one of the reasons I reached out, you said your journey in this field started 17 years ago today. You were at Georgia Tech. You were interviewing Paul Johnson. You have a picture there. And, you know, I get asked a lot by people who want to get in this business about, you know, getting in here and, you know, working your way and what you got to do. So, first of all, congratulations on all your success. And when you're asked that by young people who want to get in this business, what kind of advice do you want to give for anybody listening?
Man, so much advice. I think the one that I'll stick with right now is right. You know, I tell people all the time, whether you want to do TV, whether you want to do radio, whether you want to be a writer, you've got to get that foundation as a writer. I think you just learn so much more about your voice, how you can sound both in broadcast and with the written word when you're writing as much as you possibly can, whether that's with a blog or your own website. Or if that's a true outlet that publishes regularly, like the newspaper or like a website or whatnot. You know, for me, I got really fortunate that my first job was my first job out of college was with a newspaper in Georgia. I'm from Georgia originally, and actually from Atlanta, so covering Georgia Tech, I was basically home. So it was really nice. Start that way, but it is crazy to believe A, that it's been that long. It doesn't feel anywhere close to that long, and B, just that we're still at it. You know, this is not an easy business to get into, as you well know, and it's not it's a very unforgiving business too. Over time, it can be. So the fact that I've made it this far, I still hopefully have a lot more to go. That makes you feel good. So, I posted that today. It just dawned on me. Oh, today's July 2nd.
I
remember where I was 17 years ago, checking into HR, trying to get my figure out my way around the first newsroom.
Well, listen, man, we're gonna stay up to date on the Olympics and then in the NFL. Good to catch up with you. I see you a lot at NFL games, obviously. It was finally good to connect in this platform. Let's do it again sometime, buddy.
Yeah, we'll do it anytime, man. You got my number. We'll talk.
All right, we got it. You got it, Coley. And safe travels to Paris. Have a good time.
All right, yeah. Thanks so much, Sal. Appreciate you.
All right, you got it. That is Coley Harvey of ESPN, ESPN national reporter. Great stuff there from Coley. He covers the NFL, and I've seen him over the years, kind of his rise. He's a young guy in the business, and he does a really good job. And then I noticed he was covering the track and field trials in Eugene, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool, right? Like, I love watching the trials. I love watching the track and field. Love watching the sprints, especially the hurdles, the relays. Man, can't wait to the relays and the Olympics. It's a big deal, big night for me when I can sit down and watch that, or day, depending on, you know, when it's happening. And then he posted today, 17 years ago. I said, hey, let's talk about it all here on WGR, because we're having a potpourri of a show here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We talk soccer, we talk football, we talk hockey, we talk track and field. We even talked Paris. You ever been to Paris, Josh? You ever been to Paris?
I have not.
Duolingo, he said.
I mean, it's one of my, Europe is one of my bucket list places in terms of like going, just, I wanted, I'm a big history guy, so I like want to do some of the stuff from like World War II. So Paris is definitely on that list, along with like Normandy and stuff like that.
I have been to Europe many times, several times, I guess. I don't know, but a handful of times. Never Paris, though. And my wife and son were in Paris last year. My 10-year-old son was in Paris last year, and I was not, because they were there before the Bills played in London. So I was covering the team, and we met out there. So I also have not been there, so I'd like to do that. But the Olympics this year in Paris. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Kevin Adams' press conference from yesterday following day one of NHL free agency. We'll get to that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Stay with us.